This is Radio 4. The time now is 6:30.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away once more, it is my pleasure to welcome the four interesting and varied personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. We welcome back three of our regulars, which is Peter Jones, Clement Freud, and Paul Merton, and we welcome someone who has never played the game before, Jim Sweeney. Would you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Jane Stevens with a stopwatch and a pencil to keep the score. And as usual, I will ask our four competitors to speak on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And let us begin the show this week with Paul Merton. And Paul, the subject, splits. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I remember when I was a child at the infant school, some of the other children could do the splits. This consisted of pushing one foot as far apart from the other as is G and Judy.
And Peter Jones' challenge?
Hesitation.
Yes, it took a long time to make up your mind. You hesitated a long time. But there was no doubt about it. It was a definite hesitation, Peter. There are 48 seconds left, starting now.
There have been a number of splits this past year. Donald Trump and his wife, and, of course, innumerable members of the royal family have broken up and are, as they say in America, Reno-bound. This seems rather sad when you look back on each month of the year, and I could go through January, February, March, but I won't do that because I think it's so incredibly boring. Unless, of course, I change the order. That might make a bit of a difference. But splits, as such, are sad affairs, and they,
Clement Freud challenged.
Hesitation?
Yes, a hesitation.
Yes,
Clement.
I think you could say that.
Clement, you have 13 seconds to tell us something about splits, starting now.
Splits, I'm almost certain, is a small picturesque resort town in what used to be Yugoslavia and was then Montenegro. I have been offered a fortnight in Splits.
And before people start writing in from Yugoslavia and Bosnia and places, it is actually split, not splits, I think, Clement. We do get letters, and I wanted to prevent them all flooding into you.
They've probably got better things on their mind in Bosnia than writing letters about just a minute.
Whoever
have you considered the fact that this programme might be the cause of a lot of trouble?
How did you guess, Paul? It all happened once you joined it. Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point, and on this occasion it was Clement Freud. And Clement, the subject, Edward II. Would you tell us something about that king, starting now?
Edward II was the son of Edward I, and his own progeny later became Edward III, which is how it went in the 14th century. He was a bad king. He was born in Caernarfon. He succeeded to the throne at the age of 23, and he was murdered by his wife Isabella, having previously lost the Battle of Bannockburn, where there's still a statue showing what a rotten monarch he was and how difficult the...
Paul Merton challenged.
Hesitation.
No, I don't think he hesitated.
No.
No, I think he was keeping going quite well, giving us a fascinating history lesson all about Edward II. Obviously did it for his school cert. Clement, you have 28 seconds. Having got a point for an incorrect challenge, and you continue starting now.
There was a horse called Edward II, which won the...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Hesitation. Won the... you couldn't remember what he'd won.
No. Clement, another incorrect challenge. 24 seconds, Edward II, starting now.
It is quite a popular...
Jim McSweeney's challenged.
Hesitation. Well, everybody else is doing it, so I thought I'd have a go.
And as you haven't played the game before, Jim, I will agree with yours.
Okay.
And there are 23 seconds for you to tell us something about Edward II, Jim, starting now.
The story...
Clement Floyd challenge.
Repetition.
Of what?
I don't know.
Clement is doing his generous thing to first-time guests. You've got a point for an incorrect challenge. And you have 22 seconds, a point, and Edward II starting now.
The story of Edward II is one that's always fascinated me when it has been told to me. Sadly, it was only the once given to me as a story, which I have...
Paul, your challenge?
Repetition of story.
Correct. 14 seconds. Edward II starting now.
I don't know a single thing about Edward II. That...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
He must shut up. No, you haven't even learned something from Clement. At least we know that. He lost the Battle of Bannockburn and his wife murdered him.
It was Illabella's lover who actually did the murdering.
Was it?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. The,
Well, it mattered to him, didn't it?
Yes. Paul didn't actually hesitate, deviate...
He admitted that he didn't know a single thing about Edward II.
Listen, there's people in Just a Minute over the years haven't known a single thing about some of the subjects, and yet they've kept talking about them, including yourself.
But Nicholas...
Yes?
Yes, but I make it
easy. He heard when he was born. I don't see how you can listen to 40 seconds on Edward II and then say, I don't know a single thing about Edward II.
Quite.
I think it's a very good challenge.
No, I think I've got to be fair within the rules of Just a Minute. I'm with you. You have 10 seconds to continue on Edward II, starting now.
Isabella's lover, Fred, was in fact the one who murdered...
Peter Jones' challenge.
His name wasn't Fred.
He was Fred to her.
His name wasn't Fred, I'm sorry, Paul. So Peter has got a correct challenge. And 5 seconds on Edward II, starting now.
The Scots have never forgotten this famous victory over this poor, inadequate king.
Right, so Peter Jones was then speaking as the whistle went and gained an extra point. And, Jim, it is your turn to begin. The subject is commercials. Will you tell us something about those in Just a Minute, starting now?
The subject of commercials is one which divides the acting community into two camps. One who believe it's a valuable and worthwhile way of earning money. Others who think it's the moral equivalent of touting for business at Piccadilly. I happen to fall in the first camp. I believe that it is a well worth...
Paul Merton challenge.
A repetition of camp, unfortunately.
Yes, yes, I know. We can't get too camp on this show. Right. 46 seconds for you to tell us something about commercials, Paul, starting now.
I always felt sorry for the actor who had to stand next to a great big ball of EDAM with a keyboard cut into it and sing the Jerry Lee Lewis song.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
He just became incoherent.
I know, so we call that hesitation, Peter.
Yes.
Right. 35 seconds for you to tell us something about commercials, starting now.
They're made so well. It's my ambitious to be...
Paul Merton challenge.
Deviation, my ambitious.
Yes. It's catching, isn't it? You're sitting next to each other and you're giving this incoherence of phraseology and words to each other. Right, 32 seconds.
I wonder where we pick it up from.
I think you're wicked sometimes. Now, how I cope with you. 32 seconds, Paul, on commercial, starting now.
I always use Jacob's household paints because when it comes to painting the house, there's nothing quite like the aforementioned product. It's great. I dip my brush in it and whack it across the wall, and then sometimes I go up to the ceiling, and if I'm in a particularly generous mood, I will do the floor as well. My wife will come in and say, what a lovely smell. You can tell it's... And it is.
Your challenge.
Well, that was hesitation.
He kept going with
that's
a
their slogan. You can tell it's It's on all the tins.
You see? And as they say sometimes, I think he was rather riding the laugh. So I'll be generous to you, Paul, and say you
laugh.
Have another 7. It's a phrase that came up in one of the early recordings of this series about
25 years ago.
Paul, you have 7 seconds to continue on commercial, starting now.
I believe, as Jim mentioned earlier, that there are two very distinct ways of look.
So Paul Merton was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he has increased his lead at the end of the round. And Paul, your turn to begin. The subject, grouse. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
A grouse can always often be... Oh, I don't know. Can I start again?
You can't.
I'm no good starting off. I start off with I've got an idea in my head, and I go ahead and say it.
I know.
Dreadful.
I know. It sounds like it sometimes, too. Jim, you have got in with the correct challenge.
Yes, hesitation-ish.
With 57 seconds on grouse, starting now.
When I think of grouse, one particular famous grouse comes to mind, one that I have known and enjoyed several times when I've walked into bars up and down the country, and indeed savoured at great length, several times ending up sitting on the floor singing songs by ABBA, dressed in somebody else's clothes and wishing that I could somehow find a cab to take me home. But sadly, I never can. This is why I stopped some years ago indulging in that particular brand of grouse, although it gives me still some thoughts of...
Paul Merton, chum.
This is a commercial that he's doing.
He's hoping to get a crate of the whiskey from that firm delivered after this show's transmitted.
Deviation, he said particular brand of grouse, and it's a brand of whiskey rather than a brand of grouse. Grouse is a brand.
Oh, yes, ooh. All right.
I suppose you're technically correct, Paul, yes, but you had... I was going to give him the benefit of the doubt as he hadn't played the game before. I think I will, in fact. Right, Jim. It was a tough challenge. You've got 29 seconds to continue. Try not to advertise too much. I mean, if you're going to get the whiskey, you'll get it now anyway. 29 seconds, grouse, starting now.
I have...
Paul Merton, challenge.
Hesitation, but give him the benefit of the doubt.
All right, Paul wants Jim to have another point, so there are 28 seconds on grouse, Jim, starting now.
I've never really known what a grouse looked like. I've often had a picture of what it could possibly be, something very small and slightly feathery with little feet, but I never really knew what it...
Peter Jones, a chance.
Repetition of really.
Yeah. Yes, he really didn't know. 19 seconds for you to take over grouse, starting now, Peter.
Some people enjoy shooting grouse. I've never done that myself. I don't feel it's something that would be appropriate. Now, just like initials on one's pyjamas or having a personalised number plate on the car, it's not something I can identify with. Shooting these birds and being photographed with hundreds of these
Paul
corpses
Merton
around on the ground.
Paul Merton challenged you, actually.
Repetition of shooting.
Yeah, you were shooting too much there. You were shooting off your head there. About.
Oh, yes.
You were making a point, which the audience appreciated, but I'm afraid in quite. Just a minute we have to play by the rules.
I was playing to the animal rights group at the back.
I know. Therefore, they don't move to the front. Or well, right, so there are only 1 second left on grouse with you, Paul.
Only 1 second, Paul.
I know, you got him 1 second ago. Fruity. Starting now.
The glorious...
So, speaking as a whistle, when Paul Merton got the extra point, has increased his lead. Then comes Clement Freud, and then equal, just behind them, Jim Sweeney and Peter Jones. Clement, your turn to begin. The subject, double glazing salesman. Will you talk on it in this game, starting now?
There are very few double glazing salesmen whom I know intimately, but thinking about it, there is Alistair, Bill, Charlie, Desmond, Edward, George, Frederick, Harry, Ivor, Jack, Leonard, Martin, Norman, Oliver, Peter, Quentin, Richard.
He had to slip up at some point. Right, Paul, you challenged.
Hesitation.
You waited and got in first. Right, 33 seconds. Double glazing salesman starting now.
I don't see many double glazing salesmen round my way. I suppose it's because most people in my street already have double glazing. It was a big fad in the 1970s. People would look out of the window. There would be the double glazing salesman with his double glazing van and his cheery double glazing cry. It's glazing and it's double.
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of people.
Yes, there was.
Oh, that was ages ago.
Oh, yes. Yes, I didn't want to do a lot of work for this point.
It's sort of generosity on his part.
How can it be generous to interrupt when there's less time left on the watch?
Yes, that's another clever ploy of Clement Freud's. He's been playing the game for 26 years, you know.
Has he really?
14 seconds. Clever double glazing salesman starting now.
Sylvester Thomas Munich Victor, William, Eve, and Zebekiah.
Peter Jones Challenge.
Well, Eve isn't a man's name.
It is.
Eve Monton. That sort of Eve.
Yes, but he's not a double glazed himself.
I don't know, the recession's hit, you know, it's bad.
I thought he meant the other E, yes. And so, Peter, you have 6 seconds on double glazing salesman starting now.
However good an salesman is...
However good you are, you mustn't hesitate, Peter.
No, I don't.
And Paul got in with 3 seconds. Double glazing salesman starting now.
Peter, William, George, Harry, Margaret, all these people.
Well, Paul Merton again speaking as a whistle. When gained an extra point, has increased his lead. And Jim Sweeney, your turn to begin. The subject, Pisa. Will you tell us something about that beautiful place, starting now?
Whenever I think of Pisa, I remember being a child and reading magazines like the Beano or periodicals of that kind, as we called them periodicals in the class I was in where we couldn't speak properly, where there'd always be a cartoon where Corky the cat would go somewhere, like a little town in Italy, where he would see an unsteady pile of pizzas and they would say it was the Leaning Tower of that particular...
Peter challenged. Peter
well,
Jones.
Repetition.
Of what?
Something or other.
Right at the beginning, he did repeat the word periodical.
Yes, he did, very quickly.
Yes.
He said periodical, then he said periodical again.
That's right,
but
yes.
I thought I'd give him a sporting chance since he hasn't played it before.
With my
and
help.
Then he repeated something else. And right. I felt it was getting a bit...
Benefit of the doubt.
Yes, that's what I thought.
41 seconds, Peter, you made your point. Pisa, starting now.
The Leaning Tower of Pisa, in my view, is popular because it's flawed, it's imperfect. And I think if the Queen could market the castle at Windsor as being half burnt down, it might do even better than it did before. But it's a question of getting the advertising right. And I think she's probably capable of doing it because she's handled the last week or two quite...
Paul Merton challenge.
Hesitation.
Oh, there was a lot of hesitation. Yes, Paul. 17 seconds for you to tell us something about Pisa, starting now.
The Leaning Tower at Pisa has been closed for the past 4 or 5 years because the Italians are rather worried that it's in fact leaning too much. And they have banned tourists from climbing up the stairs and experiencing the lean for themselves.
Once again, Paul managed to keep going and spoke when the whistle went and has increased his lead at the end of the round. And, Paul, it is your turn to begin. Elitism. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
There are many people who have a rather high view of themselves and regard themselves.
Jim.
Repetition themselves?
Yes, definitely, Jim. So, it's very interesting, Paul. You know, so often you have difficulty starting, but once you've started, there's no holding you, is there?
Should have been there on the honeymoon. Had a good set of jump leads.
Right, Jim, you got in. With 53 seconds to go, the subject's elitism, starting now.
Elitist attitudes pervade our entire society. People who will sit round and say that people shouldn't watch programmes like El Dorado. And I've said people twice, and that's the third time I've said it. And then they're letting me get away with it, God bless them all. Because this is the first time I've been on this programme. It shows there's been no elitist attitude as regards this particular show, which I'm enjoying now. Elitism, of course, is something that I hate and abhor, that people should decide that one thing is good and one thing is bad without allowing other people to make up their own... Did I say people?
I think... Repetition of people.
Oh, yes.
Being sponsored
incessantly,
by that
word. Yes. 28 seconds for you to tell us something about elitism, Paul, starting now.
People who need people.
I can afford it, challenged.
Repetition.
Oh, thought you were going to have him for deviation for his singing. The 25 seconds... on elitism with you, Clement, starting now.
I think one of the best poems about elitism is Hilaire Belloc's Garden Party, in which the poor arrived in Fords whose features they resembled. They laughed to see so many lords and ladies all assembled. The middle class was there looking underdone and harassed and very out of place and
Peter
horribly
Jones,
embarrassed.
Hesitation. Yes, I agree there was a hesitation, Peter. You're going to tell us something about elitism and you have 7 seconds left, starting now.
People tend to associate it with those members of the audience of ballet performances and opera.
So, Peter Jones was then speaking when the whistle went. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject, witchcraft. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
There's absolutely nothing elitist about witchcraft. You just get an ordinary witch in a conical hat, stick on a Hoover, and claim a free flight to America.
Paul Merton challenge.
A sort of full stop, really.
Yes. Witchcraft is now with you, Paul, and you have 46 seconds to tell us something about it, starting now.
When shall we three meet again? In thunder, lightning, or in rain? So intone the three weird...
Peter Jones has challenged.
If there's anybody superstitious, they're going to be terribly worried by that, because it's quite wrong to quote from that Scottish play.
And what will happen to the show now he's quoted?
He's supposed to go outside and turn round three times and do something else. I forget what. I'm not superstitious myself. And I don't mind him reading the entire text of Macbeth if he wants to. But it is very
Are you
unlucky.
Speaking in the game, or are you just telling us?
I'm just giving you a bit of extra information.
Oh, I see. Right.
Fine. Background detail.
No. Anyway, Peter, I agree with your challenge. You have 36 seconds. Witchcraft.
Has he gone raving mad? Yeah.
I'm superstitious. I don't want to go on quoting anymore. 36 seconds, Peter. Witchcraft starting now.
I don't believe in that at all, really, witchcraft, because it's just superstitious and it's based on primitive beliefs. And the idea of these crones flying about on broomsticks and...
Paul Merton challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, Paul, right. 20 seconds, so you get the subject back. You knew that. Witchcraft, starting now.
What a fine play Macbeth is. I love it. It's an absolutely wonderful piece of dramatic work. Shakespeare wrote it, I believe, in a great... Yeah.
Peter Jones challenge.
I don't think there's any doubt that Shakespeare did write it. He did.
Yes, 10 seconds, Peter. Witchcraft, starting now.
And then they descend on blasted heaths, and they...
Paul Merton challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, he's erring all over the place. 4 seconds, Paul. Witchcraft, starting now.
My parents used to dabble in witchcraft when they were younger. They would...
So, Paul again was speaking as the whistle went. And, Jim, it's your turn to begin, and I have to tell you all, we have very little time left, so this will be the last round, alas. Saving is the subject, Jim, and the time starts now.
It is difficult for me to think of saving without remembering Gordon Banks and the wonderful save he made against Pelé in the World Cup some years ago. I leapt from my seat with joy, believing it impossible for somebody to make such an extraordinary move in midair, it appeared to me. I'm surprised he didn't break his back, but he obviously didn't, because he kept playing for a little bit longer. What a treasure he was for the game. Gordon Banks... I'll get a cab.
It's a tough game. There's the applause. They're saying they love you, Jim. Right.
Which is more than they say for you, isn't it, really? Already, he's more popular than you.
Are you clapping me or Paul's remark? That's what I know, right. Paul, 38 seconds to tell us something about saving starting now.
Banks, of course, are very keen to get people saving with them as soon as possible. They entice students with all kinds of bribes, a free anorak, or a night at the pictures if you deposit your money with this particular financial institution. I didn't think I'd get to the end of that, so I stopped. Subscribe, please.
Oh, that's all right, Paul. Peter got in, a correct challenge. 20 seconds, Peter, and you tell us something about saving starting now.
Life-saving, I suppose, is very commendable, but I remember Peter Cook once telling me that he saved the life of David Frost.
Clement Floyd challenged.
Two lives.
Yes. Save the life and life-saving.
Well, that's not a repetition.
It's hyphenated, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
it is,
yeah.
Right. Well done, Peter. 12 seconds, you continue on the saving starting now.
He dragged David Frost out of the sea and gave him artificial respiration.
Paul Merton Chalmers.
A repetition of David Frost.
No, I didn't.
He hadn't mentioned David before that.
Him.
Peter Cook, he'd mentioned.
He was mentioned Peter Cook.
David Frost before.
No, he hadn't. Peter Cook. Just assumed it was David Frost he rescued.
Why would I assume it was David Frost?
But he didn't say it when he was actually speaking. It was a bit after
he
the
didn't. He didn't say it.
He didn't say it when he was...
Did he say it through a spiritualist or something?
You see how they all get to me in the end?
It's because you're an idiot.
The end of a long series. Where's the man in the white coat? I want to go home now.
We could get a glove puppet to do what you do.
And you'd work him, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, I'm tempted as it is.
I was trying to say he was not speaking in just a minute when he said that. The buzzer had gone on the other side of the room. And that was my memory of the situation.
Quite.
So, Peter, you have 9 seconds to tell us something about saving, starting now.
He's regretted it all his life.
Poor challenge.
Hesitation.
I know, but it was worth waiting for, though, wasn't it?
No, I was riding the laugh, I think.
And it was a laugh which was worth riding, Peter.
Thank you very much. And as you've got
the last round, there's 2 seconds left. You can't possibly win, starting now.
Better use it than let it go rusty.
So Peter did speak as the whistle went and gained that extra point, and though I said he couldn't win, he has finished in a very strong second place. Behind him comes Clement Freud and then Jim Sweeney, but out in the lead was Paul Merton, once again our winner. Congratulations. I do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute. It only remains for me to thank our four talented players of the game. Also Jane Stevens for keeping the score and blowing her whistle. And also Ian Messiter for having created the game so that we go on working like this. And Sarah Smith, she is our producer. Thank them and from me, Nicholas Parsons. And we hope that you'll be with us at the same time when we take to the air and play Just a Minute. Until then, bye-bye.
Nicholas Parsons and the team will be back for the last in the present series of Just a Minute at the same time next week.